pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Scott Stothagen, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, will be with us in about 30 minutes, so make sure you stay tuned for that. 251-343-0106. That's the text line if you need to be in touch with the program. All you got to do is text me, and we'll go through your text then. Recap the news here. Last night, Colorado, just a big win for Democrat Socialist. Diane DeGette losing, a longtime incumbent to a Democrat Socialist. Major upsets as establishment Dems lose primaries in Colorado. It's underway, guys. Now, we can point and mock it, and we should have fun at that, because they're making a strategic blunder here. Democrats are, but it's important to understand what's going on. That why is this happening now? Why are all of these socialist candidates starting to win primary elections? And for years, Democrats have played to the left wing. Look, they have relied on a very well-organized, very focused activist wing of their party, and they have managed it to varying degrees of success over the years. The problem is they lean on these people, and they never deliver for them. Look, here's the deal. If you're one of these Trump derangement syndrome types, and maybe we got a few of those out there listening, how can you be, coming out of 2024, how can you be confident in the Democratic Party to lose to a twice impeached convicted felon? On paper, it should have been a layup for the Democratic candidate. It should have been, right? It should have been a layup. And it wasn't. They gave it away. They messed around with Joe Biden. They tinkered around knowing he wasn't qualified for that moment. They panicked. They went with Kamala Harris, who's just not a great candidate. And if you're one of these Trump derangement, like left-wing socialist types who's been loyal to the Democratic Party for decades, you're let down. And you start evaluating this over the years, and you get to a primary, and you're like, you know what? We got to rethink this. The Democrats are having their Tea Party wave. Now, I'm skeptical that it translated into like a Tea Party wave in the sense that it resonates in a general election setting. But these progressive ideas are what Democrats have ran on for decades and never delivered on. They're losing in the courts. They're losing in Congress. What was the last big thing Democrats had done with Congress? What? Obamacare? And, this was inevitable. They weren't taking small victories. They weren't doing anything. Here's what Democrats were hanging their hat on, just opposing. well, you got this rabid base just chomping at the bit. What have you delivered for them? There's sort of this patchwork lawfare thing going that's works for a few days, and then when the Supreme Court comes in, it changes the country forever. You're not winning over hearts and minds. You're not selling any ideas. You're not having that charisma that you had with the Obama times. And I think the Democrats are like, why are we doing it this way? How do we lose to Donald Trump? The twice impeached convicted felon womanizing playboy mogul from Queens. We lost to him twice listening to these people. And I always thought that, you know, this was kind of bubbling underneath. Hey, if you look at, a lot of people look at politics like sports. Right now, I'm watching the Atlanta Braves. They had a terrible month of June, and you're looking at it and you're wondering, like, why aren't they trying to improve things? Why aren't they trying to go out and find pitching or a bat or something? But it's like, I kind of think the same phenomenon is like eating at Democrats. Like, we keep losing presidential elections that we should win on paper. Why are we doing it this way? Why do we hire the same consultants? Why do we hire the same people? Why are we listening to these DCCC types, these Washington elitists? And guess what? You have New York City, you have Colorado, and you'll have more. And you're going to have more over the coming years. It's just Republicans got to be smart how they play it. Sure. You know, do your Fox News thing. You talk about, oh, wow, these socialists, communism is coming to America. You do that as a contrast. But eventually, you're going to, eventually, I mean, you're going to just, it's just going to be, do I like ideas? Do I like this pot A of ideas or pot B of ideas? And, you know, this is what we need. And I think if you explain things and you message properly, and you don't try to get too cute with some of the, like, hokey, gimmicky stuff. Most people are rational, reasonable people. You'll prevail. We'll see. Republicans have screwed it up before. Let's roll through some text here. Jeff from Fairhope writes, my son was a bat boy for the Bay Bears for 22 seasons. That's a good run. Oh, some great ball. And future big league player's son still communicates with players. Brandon Marsh, Bay Bear, was leading the majors in batting last week. We do miss the games and camaraderie in the clubhouse. Mobile has a history of not supporting pro sports. Good luck to the Mystics. I just don't know that Mobile is a hockey town, to be honest. It's like one of these things you'll go to a few times to say you've been. You don't have youth sports, right? You don't have youth hockey in Mobile. Maybe you will. But it remains to be seen. They make more money on business than date nights. You want to go on a date, go to the Eastern Shore. Jason, does this DSA pandemic move into Alabama anytime soon, and do they have any potential candidates on the radar? I don't think so. I think with the Democratic Party in Alabama, it's more of an African-American phenomenon. It's not the California transplant or New York transplant in Denver, Colorado, that likes the idea of legalized recreational marijuana bars or whatever. Which I didn't see a whole lot of that in Denver. I took my 5-year-old to Denver. That was my 50th birthday. We went to the 2 Braves-Rockies games and hung out in Denver. That had been 10 years earlier. That's all it was. That was tourism. It was weed tourism. But they've scaled that back some. it feels like. But I think, like in Alabama, it's just a different sort of environment for Democrats. You have the DSA Democrats in the south side of Birmingham, some pockets of Montgomery, some pockets of Huntsville, pockets of Mobile, but it's not widespread enough in a big enough number to unseat like a Terry Sewell, to unseat a Bobby Singleton. Doug Jones may try to, the Doug Jones is one of the culprits here, what's going on in the Democratic Party, where he'll pay lip service to a lot of these things, but he doesn't really mean it. Unnamed texter, Biden delivered a boatload for the left, triple B spending. Yeah, and I mean, the whole ARPA thing was just a buy-off of the state governments. But it created inflation. Sure, you're going to have rural broadband in places where you probably shouldn't. It was very Keynesian. Very Keynesian. It didn't work. And we're still recovering from it. Take Biden for what he did, whether he was writing the show or not, but just look at him from a policy perspective and try to give him, you know, like, well, he got this done. You may disagree with what he had done, but what he had done. And the country was not really that much better off. I will give him this. I mean, he had to recover from the same pandemic everybody did. And that's a tough time to be president. And I was kind of thinking at the time when Trump lost, do you really want to be president these 4 years where we're going to be leading on the federal government more than we ever have? Where people are just going to be, the country's in such a downward kind of mentality that, you know, George Floyd and Black Lives Matter, where we're all racist. There's all these protests going on in the streets of the inner cities. They're burning down Minneapolis. Everybody's going to have to be wearing a mask indefinitely, getting like chemicals injected in their body, told that you had to do this because of the pandemic. You had to do this. Do you want to be president during that time, or do you want to wait 4 years and run again? And you can go back and listen to my shows. That's what I said. I said Trump comes back in 2024, he's going to win. I just got on the air here in Mobile. This old Fox News, I'm sorry, it caught my attention. I'm going to share it with you guys. There are two protesters. I don't know what cause they are protesting, but they have climbed to the top of the Empire State Building. These people are insane. Two protesters are not just on the top floor. They're on the top, on the antenna, all the way up to the top almost, hanging on. And they got a black flag. I can't read what the flag says, but they got a helicopter circling the, circling the tower here. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program? Stick around. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Let it all hang out, cause we got to run to
me. Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning, 251-343-0106. Squirrel Marine, what Mobile needs is more military at Berkeley, more Coast Guard with housing. Well, I tried that. the LBJ pulled the rug out from under Mobile, and Sim Mobile took them 25 years, 30 years to ever recover from that. I just don't think, and this was always my problem with those who like really were big on Richard Shelby. You can't rely on government for economic prosperity. Sure, talk about how great it is. Space Command and the FBI are coming to Huntsville, and you know, whatever. But those aren't the jobs a state showing signs of economic prosperity really need to. I mean, they're not. You don't want to turn them away. But that shouldn't be like your core function of economic development, is bringing more federal government to your city or your state or whatever it may be. That's what I mean, like I said, you don't turn it away. And there was a time in the whole story of Birmingham and Richard Shelby, the steel industry, it was just cheaper to manufacture steel abroad. The steel manufacturer went to Canada, then it went to Mexico and the rest of Latin America, then it went east. And just, they don't have the environmental regulations we do in Alabama, I mean, or in America. They don't have the organized labor problems. They don't have a great quality of life. They're just worker bees. And such as it is, we needed something to fill that gap, fill that void. Well, Shelby, you know, the time was our U.S. senator, and was, you know, just bringing a lot of you know, money back to Alabama for the University of Alabama system, and really turned UAB from this commuter college to the state's more medical healthcare centric school. You go to downtown Birmingham, the south side of downtown Birmingham, I mean, you'll see, you know, the colleges there, they're very healthcare oriented, and turned it into this healthcare industry. And that sort of filled that gap. Now, Birmingham's still got a lot of issues. It's still struggling. It's not what it was in the heyday of the steel era. There's times when it's appropriate. But, like, take in Brooklyn Air Force Base, or what is now Brooklyn, and bring in more government, and I just don't think that that is the best use of that property. Or even defense contractors. I mean, that can all end after an election. Colorado was really thinking it was going to get Space Command. Trump gets elected, and that's it. They're trying to sue, but they're not going to prevail. Mike, Mobile's waterfront problem is the jail. And it's nice to hear a politician in Alabama drop into Judeo and using the correct term Christian. And socialism is catching on, in my opinion, because the average person under 50, the crony capitalism we've grown up with, hasn't worked as promised. The dot-com bust, housing crash, and COVID have crushed career potential all years, all while big box businesses, banks, insurance companies, big health care, and the boomers are constantly bailed out. I don't agree with it, but that's what's causing the trend. Yeah, I mean, but the economy will find a way. I mean, the laws of economics will prevail here. Government can only tinker with it so long, but innovation comes along. He's all worried about AI taking jobs away from people. But I you know, at some point, we'll just find a new place to put these resources. AI will make society more productive once we get a handle on it and figure out what it can be used for. Anyway, people, I mean, when you talk about this, it's taking our jobs away, but like, you have advances in technology that antiquate a lot of different aspects of an economy. And those economies, they may suffer initially, but they don't go away. There's just something in the American DNA that keeps that, I think, will keep that from happening. I mean, what if we were able to, through the use of technology, shorten the work week, yet wages don't suffer? We're still able to get the productivity that we need to survive and thrive as a society, but you're not working as much. You're still having the commerce take place now. I mean, obviously, you know, there's going to be people who are going to get very rich off of it. But you still got to have customers. You're always going to have an economy. It's just always going to change, and you just have to adapt. So the doom and gloom with the technology advancements, I'm not quite there. I just think things find a way. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time.
To the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday. What's left of this Wednesday morning? 251-343-0106. Real quick, I didn't do it in the last segment. Tomorrow on the program, Robert Aderholt, congressman up in North Alabama, Gary Palmer, congressman in the Birmingham area, but we'll both be with us. In addition to that, April Marie Fogle making her Thursday appearance. So please stay tuned or tune in for that tomorrow as we close out the week heading the 4th of July holiday. Joining us now on the line is our Alabama Republican chairman, also a member of the Alabama legislature. My friend Scott Stouthagen is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jeff. Thanks for having me on today, man.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We appreciate it. Let's just start here before we get into yesterday. How's your new role as party chairman going?
Man, it's baptism by fire, but I will say I'm enjoying every minute of it. I'm literally putting in 16-hour days, yesterday being one of them, with travel time and office time and all that good stuff. But I'm very, very excited about the future for the Alabama Republicans. Got a lot of good things going on. We've got some stuff that, you know, some things we had to deal with, and I think some of that stuff is getting behind us, and we're going to be focusing on the general.
Yeah, the general election, and there's some interesting races around the state, probably more competitive than you would like, but, this is when the Republican Party really could flex its muscle.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and I'm a competitive guy, so I'm actually really excited and looking forward to the challenge and the competition. I think we've got a strong team moving forward. I'm really, really excited about CD2 and the possibilities of flipping that seat back red. We need another vote in the House of Representatives in D.C. And, I'm all positive over here. I mean, I think we've got a strong team. We've got a good plan, and we're going to move forward and execute.
Yeah, just one more question on that. Just sort of turn out in the primaries, I think Republicans will show up on November 3rd relative to what happened on May 19th, but is that on your radar?
It is. I mean, most importantly, making sure that our team shows up and votes, right? And yes, we had poor participation during the primaries and the runoffs, but I think there's a lot of different factors that go in with that. I do think, however, November 3rd, when it's game time and we are truly, you know, the big game, I think they're going to show up and they're going to show out. And I'm looking forward to that. And that's going to be our messaging from here to now. I mean, from here to November 3rd, you know, it's imperative for us not to be complacent and for you to get to the polls and vote.
Yeah. We kind of nationalized a lot of elections in the eyes of Alabamians, and I think they'll show up on November 3rd. Just, you can't take it for granted. They just got to be
yes,
coached up, right?
No, absolutely. Yes. If you take it for granted and you get complacent, you lose. I mean, that's just all there is to it.
So yesterday, the Supreme Court ruled that states can indeed determine policy as it pertains to athletics, organized sports.
Yes.
and ruled that, you know, state can say we will not allow transgender females to participate in girls' athletics at the grade school level, or, you know, even the collegiate level. But tell me, you were there. I mean, you were the guy, and I remember the whole ordeal over this, starting with the last day of session in 2022. You and Wes Allen had a couple of bills that got through on the last day of the quadrennium. Probably the most conservative. I mean, that and the abortion ban a few years earlier were probably the most conservative pieces of legislation we had seen all quadrennium. And you were on the forefront of this. Your reaction to yesterday's Supreme Court decision?
Jeff, man, I could not be more excited about their decision. I do hate that it took so long for us to finally get that ruling. I literally remember that day like it was yesterday, because that was during my freshman term. I had to park in the parking lot across from the state house, and they had protesters wrapped around the state house that I had to walk through. And being a naive freshman, I thought I could just slip through them and, you know, not get noticed. And quite the opposite, you know, they started cussing at me, spitting at me. I had to get help to get inside the building, and it took, with, you know, 4 hours of debate, we finally got that bill through and passed. And I tell you, man, it is a great feeling to finally see the Supreme Court make this ruling.
Yeah, and they finally made it, and I mean, it kind of affirms a lot of what we thought, the way things ought to go. It's still not maybe the ultimate objective here. You're still going to have places in America that are going to allow this, but it takes states like Alabama kind of to get the ball rolling.
Absolutely. You got to think, Jeff, that was under the Biden administration, and hats off to our governor, Kay Ivey. She was getting literally threats from the federal government, from the Biden administration, that they were going to take away our free lunches in our cafeterias at our schools. I mean, think about that for a hot minute. So that's what Democratic leadership looks like in D.C. If they don't get what they want, they're going to punish you and punish your kids who rely on lunches. And hats off to our governor, the high stepper. You know, I mean, she just high stepped all over those threats, signed it into law. And Alabama's special, man. We hold our family values, and that day prevails with our values. And I can't be more proud to be an Alabamian.
Yeah, and it was Jen Psaki at the White House press briefing who was, you know, actually made it an issue and actually talked about the repercussions and said that the Biden administration would not sleep on this. They were gonna, they never really did much about it, but the threat was there, and it was like kind of like, wow, this is getting national attention.
That's right. Yeah, Senator Garland Gudger carried it in the Senate, and I remember him and I we were in conversations a lot about the threats that were coming in to both of us. I mean, both of us received death threats on that legislation. I had a deputy sitting in my driveway watching over my wife and daughter while I was in Montgomery passing that bill, and I just remember talking to Senator Gudger when she signed it. It was one of the best villains of my life. I'll never forget it. We were in Tuscaloosa on the quad. My daughter was riding her bike. We were kind of trying to hide out, really. And the governor called and said, it was 4:55 on a Friday. She said, I just signed your legislation into law, sir. And it was one of the best buildings I've ever felt.
Yeah. That was a crazy quadrennium, because y'all had gone through the 2019 abortion ban, which really, yep, like stirred the pot. Now, they went more after the guys upstairs when that finally passed, right? But, like, you know, for all the knocks on Mac McCutcheon, that quadrennium really was, he really notched some victories there.
Oh, absolutely. You got to think, if you remember, the senators were literally on Saturday Night Live being made fun of for that abortion vote, you know, and that, wow. I mean, that was a national level legislation, and I remember looking back and thinking, because I mean, that was my first experience in the House of Representatives, and I was like, man, is this what all, you know, my career is going to be like? And it wasn't. We just had some very strong conservative pieces of legislation that at that time the Biden administration and their leadership did not like, so they came after Alabama with everything they had, and we stood strong and prevailed.
Yeah, and that was like a really just a pivotal time. The culture was kind of doing some weird things. I mean, we weren't quite we just come out of COVID, and it felt like we were in this like the progressive lurch in America, and here Alabama is they're going in the opposite direction. And then, like I said yesterday, kind of was the icing on the cake.
Absolutely. Man, it was a good day. It was a good day for all of us. Years later, Representative Susan DeBose took our legislation and added the collegiate level higher education to it. And I remember telling her from what I experienced and how intense this legislation was. But when she filed it and she carried it, none of that stuff took place. And it blew my mind. The protesters weren't wrapped around the building. The death threats weren't there. And it just goes to show that once you do something and it's the right thing to do and you win, then it's easier down the road, and that's what it should be. I just very proud of Alabama and our conservatism and our legislature, man. We stand strong on good principles, and it shows.
Joined by Scott Stedagan. He is the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, also a member of the Alabama legislature from Morgan County here on the program. Let's talk about America.
Hey, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do a shout out real quick for our event tonight.
Sure.
Yeah, tonight, 7 to 9 at headquarters, Republican Party headquarters at 3505 Warner Road. We're having a 250th anniversary crawfish band. Y'all, please come and see us.
Yeah, if you're up that way, the Birmingham area, make sure you evaluate that as a possibility for you this evening. Hey, talk about America 250. You and I were both at an event yesterday in Pike Road right outside of Montgomery, hosted by Katie Britt, our junior U.S. senator. I've been watching Katie Britt over the years and, kind of really starting when she first started to run for Senate. I thought that was like a really one of her best speeches I've ever seen her give.
Man, what are you talking about? I literally got in the car with my staff and I said the same exact thing. The senator that she is today, my goodness, man, we've got one of the best senators in the United States.
Yeah, she really talked about linking our Christian heritage to the founding of the country. And, you don't have a United States of America without Christianity, at least not as we see it today. And I think that's just an important message here on the 250th anniversary.
Absolutely. There was over 500 people there at least. And it was hot. I told my staff that event was hot all the way around. It was hot temperatures, but it was a hot message from the mic from our United States Senator. And I agree, man. It was a really good event, and she really amplified the birth of our country and what it took for those guys to do what they did and their belief in God and moving forward in what's right. It was awesome.
I just want to like see more of that. That's
yes.
That's the winning message. That's what we need to hear more of. Obviously, there's always the business of Washington. You got to talk about that and disappointment in the Supreme Court decision on immigration and birthright citizenship. But you put all that aside. Really talking about why is this important? Why it's not just a reason to go out and shoot off fireworks or imbibe or whatever you do on your 4th of July, but there really is something you've got to at least pay homage to.
Absolutely. Jeff, and I'm guilty as well. All of us take our freedom for granted and the privileges that our armed forces provide for us every single day as a United States citizen. There's people who are literally watching our backs 24/7 to make sure we're safe, make sure we live in a free country. And it's hard for us because we've never experienced it or we've never seen it. But there's a lot of blood and sacrifices that goes into what we get to live every single day. We get to pick our religion. We get to vote for the candidates we want to vote for. We get to live in a country that is free. And it's because of the fruits of their labor we get to do that. But also the men and women who stood strong 250 years ago. it's great to be American, and I think that I try to remind my daughter that. She's 13, and I try to, you know, tell her the how awesome it is to be an American and why we celebrate the 4th of July. And you are 100% correct. We need to take knowledge of that.
Yeah, because, you know, the culture is, or at least some progressives in the culture, it's gotten more secular. It's kind of being forced upon us. I mean, we survived Pride Month and, you know, and things like that. But I think that, like, this has got to be the counter to that. If you disagree with all of the stuff you see in the culture and pop culture or whatever and all of the liberalism, like, your chance here is to counter that is being patriotic on the 4th of July.
Yes, absolutely, man. It's definitely more than hamburgers and hot dogs. It's a true celebration of something that's so unique to give us the opportunity to live in the best country in the world. And just looking on the, you know, you go try to protest over there in China, let me know how that works out for you, you know, or Russia. Or, I mean, it's just, it's different. You get to voice your opinion. That's under the Constitution. You get to express how you feel and why you feel that way without repercussions and with the law, not social media, of course. But that's, you know, that's America. You can backlash with somebody on social media if you choose to do so because of those rights of being free. And it's just, man, I'm excited about tonight's celebration for the party. I'm excited about spending 4th of July with my family and celebrating our great country.
Hey, before we get you out of here, folks want to get more involved with the Alabama Republican Party, know about some of the big events you got coming up, how can they do so?
Yes, please look us up on social media. We've got our Republican page on every single social media. We've got a huge event July 31st in Montgomery at the Renaissance. We have got one heck of a lineup. We've got Tim Burchett, congressman from Tennessee. We've got Congressman Brandon Gill from Texas, who is an up-and-rising star. And if you haven't heard of him, I suggest you look him up in committees. He is, man, he destroys the Democrats in committees. We've got Bruce Pearl to motivate our citizens to get out and vote. We've got Coach Tuberville that's going to finish us up with his message for the state of Alabama. Looking forward to it, but it starts at 6 July 31st in Montgomery. But go to our social page. We're really pushing out as much as we can. And Jeff, I can't thank you enough for helping me get the message out, man.
Hey, man, thanks for hopping on this morning. We'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Take care, Jeff.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Birmingham. Montgomery. Right up over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile. John Young are going to be filling in for Sean today, so y'all stay tuned for that. Coming up tomorrow on this show, Robert Adderholt kicked things off at the 9 o'clock hour, April Murray Fogle at the 10 o'clock hour, and Gary Palmer in the 11 o'clock hour. Watching this, these two protesters who climbed up to the top spire, very top of the spire, like daredevils, of the Empire State Building. And they unfurled a banner that said, when the power of love beats the power of the love of power, the world knows peace. And then they climbed down. It was a man and a woman. The man appeared to have proposed to the woman. And there you have it. Now it looks like they made their way down and law enforcement has I assume was going to take them into custody. They'll probably spend a little time in jail and but become a viral sensation because this is insanity, but this happens from time to time and it can't go unpunished. I guess it's there's a trespassing and public safety and disturbing the peace. I don't know. These, like I said, these things happen with these people from time to time, but that's a safe return to the ground, I hope. Terry, Boomer's bailed out. I don't recall being bailed out. And you age discriminators will be old one day if you're so blessed. Yeah, I just I don't think it's the boomers. It's a general. It's not targeting you specifically, Terry. A named texture saw paint scheme on new Air Force One. No, not a fan at all. Previous planes paint scheme looked much better. Wasn't this the one gifted from Qatar or Gutter or however you pronounce it? IT Jesus says it's Independence Day and sends me a picture of someone on a boat. And finally, Ultra Runner. I found this new sport called soccer. Team USA rolls again tonight. Let's go, USA. I watched a little bit of the Turkey match only because there was no baseball on. There's baseball on tonight. I get to watch. Hopefully July turns it around for the Braves. I just can't. I tried in the past to get into soccer. I played it when I was little. I can't. I can't get excited about it, even with the American flag. I mean, I'll watch some of it. I'll go through the motions. But it's just not for me. Squirrel Marine, one more here. Tell that dude the paint scheme is called a library. All right, there you have it. It has been a great show. It's been a pleasure speaking to you today. I got to get out of here. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis. I once again forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. This is.